Each and every one of you is welcome here. Whether you feel awe and wonder when it snows, or it annoys you and strikes fear in your heart, you are welcome whether you've been coming for 50 years or if this is your very first morning with us. You're welcome whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're online this morning, or you're watching a recorded service. You are welcome whether you feel so excited and so happy about the holidays, or it is mostly dread and depression and sadness that fills you. So you are welcome here, each and every one of you, because you are a beloved child of the universe. You come from the stars. I'd like you to take a moment to greet each other. Try to greet somebody you've never met before. So I have a few announcements. The order of service is online, and there are QR codes on the back of your seat, so if you want to use those QR codes to get to the order of service, you're welcome to. Once you get the order of service, we do ask that you turn off your, you go onto airplane mode, because then people at home can get some of that bandwidth, which sometimes is slow for us. If you're at home, you can get the order of service in the email that came to you this morning, or hopefully did. We're having some problems with that delivery system, but hopefully it did. So we've moved to really recommending masking for everybody because illness is really high in our area of the world. Monomoth County recently came out recommending masking because of the serious flu, RSV, and COVID seasons that we're having right now. It's also a really kind thing to do for your neighbor. We have coffee service downstairs after the service and also online. So join people for some conversation and some coffee after the service. Also after the service, we're having our second compassion circle, which will be in Forest Hall about 15 minutes after the service is over. And that is for people who are having struggles in your life, something where you could just use a little extra gentle care from this community. If you're someone who would like to offer some gentle care, we would love for you to join us also in Forest Hall, whether you're having a time of struggle or not. We did it a few weeks ago, and it was really very lovely. So I invite people to that if it makes sense for you. I also want to do one other thing. We record all these services, and so if it's really important for you to not be on the camera, you should sit in the way back. And when we do joys and sorrows, raise your hand for somebody to put a stone in the water. That way you're not on camera. So let us rise and sing together 389. Gathered here, Kira is going to ably lead us. So we will light our chalice for the bright light of the stars who are our ancestors. Let us say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Scott Winters, and my pronouns are he and him, and I am your lay leader this morning. Our opening reading, our call to worship, is by Angela Herrera. You bring yourself before the sacred, before the holy, before what is ultimate and bigger than your lone life, bigger than your worries, bigger than your money problems, bigger than the fights you had with your sister and your aches and pains, bigger even than your whole being, yourself who is part of and trapped within and blessed with a body that does what you want and doesn't do what you want. And wants all the wrong things and wants all the right things. You stand at the edge of mystery, at the edge of the deep, with the light streaming at you, and you can't hide anything, not even from yourself. When you stand there like that, and then what? Maybe you call your pastor and say, "What is this? What am I looking at? What do I do?" And your pastor comes and stands at the edge with you and looks over. She can't hide anything either, she thinks. Not even the fact that she doesn't know the answer to your question, and she wonders if you can tell. She thinks of all the generations who's come there before you and cast words out towards the source of that light, wanting to name it. Somehow, she thinks to herself, the names stayed tethered to the aging world and got old, while the light remains timeless and burns without dimming. Meanwhile, the armful of worries you brought to the edge of mystery have fluttered to your feet. Unobscured by these, you shine back, light emanating into light. You with your broken heart and your seeking. You are the utterance of the timeless word. The name of the holy is pronounced through your being. Let us worship together.
Now is the time for our story. If there's any children who would like to come up to the front, we already have a couple. You are so welcome up here. So this morning, our story is called The Child of Galaxies. Your body was made from the stuff of the stars. Can you believe that? The stuff of the stars. You are all a child of the galaxy dreaming. You are a speck within worlds, in a world among worlds. But you're here. You are awake. You are breathing. You have time. You have limbs and a mind that sprouts wings. Your life in waiting for your leading. In the universe wide, have a spring in your stride with the knowledge you have what you're needing. But shadows may creep up your walls while you sleep to put questions in all of your knowing. Till it's dark where you tread and you fear what's ahead when you wonder just where you are going. But the Earth is still here after billions of years, still playfully spinning in orbit. After all of this time, without reason or rhyme, now there is a thought. Just absorb it. And though your part may be small, you're part of it all. You are rooted right here on the surface. Heading nowhere at all on a life-giving ball, you can only suppose there's a purpose. But here's a big if. If you didn't exist, think of all that you wouldn't be versed in. Like a crisp-autumn dawn with a diamond-dew lawn or a summertime sea you're immersed in. And in life you'll share friends, you'll know love without end, you'll feel rain from infinity teeming. Your palm can discover the palm of another and feel tiny eternities streaming. And though shadows persist and the palm forms a fist, it is time that is longer and lasting. Because shadows will fade and time will remain and will be there when darkness is passing. And the planets afar swim in oceans of stars, quite indifferent to all of this worry. And you're made of stars, the same stuff that they are. So be like stars, in no hurry. And instead of the hours, try counting the flowers, still at play like the year you were born in. Till you pass evermore through the wide open door and embrace the mysterious morning. So now it's time to sing our children to their classes.
What a wonderful world.
I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky,
are also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, singing, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you.
I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful
have our first reading, which is called The Cosmic Eye, and it is a YouTube video, which we shall be seeing. Here it is.
Thank you.
Wow. I am in awe after watching that. Our reading number two, On Awe, Creativity and the Birth of Religion by Albert Einstein. The most beautiful thing we can experience is mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. This insight into the mystery of life, coupled though it be with fear, has also given rise to religion. To know that what is impenetrable to us really exists, manifesting itself as the highest wisdom and the most radiant beauty which our dull faculties can comprehend only in their most primitive forms. This knowledge, this feeling, is at the center of true religiousness. In this sense, and in this sense only, I belong in the ranks of devoutly religious men. It is enough for me to contemplate the mystery of consciousness, of conscious life perpetuating itself through all eternity, to reflect upon the marvelous structure of the universe, which we can dimly perceive, and to try humbly to comprehend even an infinitesimal part of the intelligence manifested in nature.
Our theme this month is wonder. And my wondrous iPad has done things to me. So our theme this month is wonder, which might not be a surprise. Wonder, I find, is a very interesting word. If we say it is a wonder, we mean it is a marvel, a miracle, unbelievable. If we say I feel wonder, we mean to be astonished, amazed, awed. But wonder is also a verb. We say, I wonder what that is. I wonder why that happened. I wonder what would happen if I tried this. Wonder transitions us from experiences that make us speechless, like the vast beauty of the universe, to speech, where we ask questions like, I wonder how the universe came to be. I remember when I was in college and my boyfriend and I camped at the top of a tall hill in rural northern Idaho. We looked out over the valley where the rounded hills of the Palouse rolled peacefully and pastorally below, with patches of pine forest nestled here and there. That night, the bright and milky white stars spread across the sky. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, red lines of light began flashing silently on and off across the valley. We were filled with wonder as we watched the arches of flashing light, beautiful and majestic. It was so unexpected and absolutely dazzling. We had no explanation for what we were seeing. It went on and on, and we became lost in mystery and wonder. I can imagine that most of us can name a moment in our lives when we felt wonder and awe. Maybe it was the night sky, or the mountains, or the ocean, or a new baby, or the opening bud of a flower. Maybe it was a strong sense of the mysterious or the infinite. So just take a moment. Take a deep breath. And remember a time you were filled with wonder. How did it make you feel? Wonder takes our breath away, says the writer Anne Lamott, and makes room for new breath. That's why they call it breathtaking. And wonder does that. Often it is the sense of wonder that gets us wondering, asking questions, and engaging with the world. Wondering is what gave us science. I just began reading Sophie's World, which is a novel about the philosophy of history of philosophy. 15-year-old Sophie receives mysterious envelopes from a stranger offering her a course in philosophy. The teacher tells her in the opening line that the only thing we require to be good philosophers is the faculty of wonder. He shares how babies come into the world at first stunned and then amazed at this creation. What is going on? You can almost hear them ask as they squint through eyes startled by the light. As they grow, they continue to be awed, working back and forth between experiencing wonder and wondering. If you've ever taken a walk with a 2-year-old, you know the experience, as every 3 steps or so they find the wondrous thing which must be examined and prodded. When my 3-year-old daughter first saw an elephant, she just stared and stared with wide eyes for the longest time, and finally she looked at us and asked, "Big dog?" Wonder continues for children, but for most, over time it fades. And by adulthood, it takes a lot more than a slug crossing the sidewalk or the first sighting of an elephant to inspire wonder and awe, and the myriad of questions that can tumble from them. Such things do exist if we pay attention, like to the things listed in It's a Wonderful World, or in the video this morning. But there's also just the universe, its size, its incomprehensibility. Where did it come from? Why is it here? And there's the existence of life. How is it possible? How and why did it begin? Are we all the life that there is on this planet? And what does it mean, this life? How is it possible that life works together so well in ecosystems to support all varieties of life in their various forms? Each atom in our bodies was made in the wickedly hot furnaces of the stars. Our atoms have existed for millennia, once water or grass or part of the cell in a mother's nose or maybe part of the fur in a cat's pelt. Perhaps parts of you were once rock or tree. It's true, and it's wondrous. I am befuddled when people brush off such wonder of the natural world, complaining it's not really wondrous or awesome because it's explainable, and thus it's just science. Just science? Science is one method for understanding things, for sure, but it is poorly used if it sucks wonder from the world. We know exactly through science how a baby is made, how it grows in the womb, and how it is born. But each time a baby is born, something awesome, unbelievable, and magical happens. We experience the mystery of a particular baby, breathing for the first time, moving their tiny legs and arms, their heads bobbing as they seek love and nourishment. Those moments are filled with wonder, beyond understanding. How can this be? Understanding the science of reproduction doesn't touch the wonder at all. Perhaps just makes it more extraordinary. It is the same way. Understanding the physics of weather cannot explain the wonder of walking in a gentle, silent, falling snow, or just looking at it out the window. Or the awesomeness of the wind lifting the sea and smashing it against the shore. Or that long-ago lightning storm that I watched from above with my boyfriend. My mother, who is a trained biologist, said she chose to study the discipline because of wonder. And what she learned just increased it. And I am completely with her. Plants turn the energy of the suns into sugars that feed themselves and then feed us. Are you kidding me? That is just freaking amazing. How is that even possible? How did that come to be? I find the world more wondrous knowing about it than not knowing about it. I wonder how it's come that we take such a miracle for granted. Shouldn't we fall to our knees each day and say thank you for the plants and sun, for such a gift, for our very lives, that there is food that nourishes us? Gratitude, it seems, is the first of all we can offer. Evolution feels equally wondrous to me. What seriously could be more remarkable than the evolution of life? That nature simply unfolded, finding ways to live in all the environmental niches of our Earth? How is it possible that eyes developed? Eyes are really complicated. Or ears, or any of the ways that we have of sensing and understanding our environment. Once some students were asked to list what they thought were the seven wonders of the world. They listed some of the things we might think of: Egypt's Great Pyramids, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, China's Great Wall. But yeah, one girl hadn't finished and was looking perplexed, so the teacher asked her if she needed some help. And she said yes, and the teacher said, well, tell us what you have. And the girl hesitated, and then she read, I think the seven wonders of the world are to see, to hear, to feel, to taste, to smell, to laugh, and to love. Yes. And how about the atoms that were made in stars that somehow came together into people? Us, who dance, who sing, who write poetry, who cook amazing feasts, create societies, laugh, and love. Wow. This is wondrous. It's virtually beyond belief. And how do we forget that everything about our particular lives and those we love and everyone else is simply a miracle? Wonder is foundational to my religious and spiritual life. I am with Albert Einstein on this. He says the most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who could no longer pause to wonder and stand in rapt awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. Einstein continues, this insight into the mystery of life, coupled through it be with fear, has also given rise to religion. In this sense, and in this sense only, I belong to the ranks of the devoutly religious man. Friedrich Schleiermacher also believed wonder and awe were the foundation of religion. He was a theologian who wrote in the early 1800s. His primary work was to resolve the conflicts between the Enlightenment and Protestant Christianity. He is called the father of liberal theology, and Unitarian Universalist theology goes back in a direct line to his work. This is what he said about the basis of religion almost 200 years ago. Dogmas are not, properly speaking, part of religion. Rather, it is that they are derived from it. Religion is the miracle of direct relationship with the infinite. And I want to say that part again. Religion is the miracle of direct relationship with the infinite. This is wonder and awe. A direct relationship with that which is beyond us and is mysterious. For Unitarian Universalists, it is also our first source, the direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. Schleiermacher goes on, and dogmas are a reflection of this miracle. Similarly, belief in God and in personal immortality are not necessarily a part of religion. One can conceive of a religion without God. And that would be pure contemplation of the universe. One can conceive of a religion without God, he said, and that would be pure contemplation of the universe. And for me, that's all I need. Contemplation of the universe to be truly religious. It is natural for humans to go from wonder to wondering. We tell stories to explain the wonder and the unfathomable questions of why this, why me, why now, which we have all kinds of stories and explanations which have become religions and philosophy and science and art. Even the explanation that all existence is simply a coincidence and meaningless is a story that we tell. We don't know the truth of any of it. We evolved here on Earth, after all, with sensory perception abilities created to survive on this particular planet. We've expanded our ability to perceive with our technology. That's absolutely true. We know we do not see because of this. We know we do not see all the colors or hear all the sounds or smell all the smells. We know this, but it in no way means we now can see more color, hear more sounds, or smell more smells. We all have a pretty limited experience of reality. How can we ever have a full intellectual understanding of existence? We will try, of course. We love these kinds of questions, and it will be incredibly interesting whatever is discovered, and probably just be more awe-inspiring. The universe of life and death will always pulse with wonder, mystery, and holiness, no matter what. Just like the birth of a baby, which we understand so well and is still a wonder. And I don't know why this is true. But I do know it matters to my experience of being human. Did you know that experiences of awe and wonder actually transform us? They make us humble. In study after study, and in the wisdom literature across cultures, the evidence is that after we have an experience of awe, we feel small in relationship to that which is greater than ourselves. And so we feel humble. And being humble transforms our relationships. We actually become more generous and kind and helpful. We connect more to our communities and our families. We become happier because we stop thinking so much about ourselves. Awe shifts our perception of time. Time becomes more spacious and open. People feel they have more time than they did before. The awestruck are less materialistic. They turn down money and objects and instead seek experiences. Feeling awe makes us more loving. I believe that the center of Unitarian Universalism is for us all to be on paths that help us become more loving people towards creation, towards ourselves, and towards others. Foundation to all of that is immersion in wonder, mystery, and awe. Fortunately, wonder is everywhere. It is in our houses, outside our doors, and in all of the people and children that we know. Sometimes children can be our greatest teachers, it turns out, about wonder. Wonder is in the earth and in the night sky and in the trees. It is on every single plate of food that we eat. We miss the miracles and the wonder all the time. Our brains get caught in habits. We take things for granted. We stop seeing things we see all the time. We put particular frames around our experience, so we just see in particular ways. And it's very hard to break those frames and see in different ways, to see more expansively. The Jewish tradition often reminds people to remember miracles. Their tradition says the splitting of the Red Sea was the greatest miracle ever performed. They share a midrash of two Israelites, Reuben and Shimon, who crossed the sea on that remarkable day. The bottom of the sea, though, safe to walk on, was not completely dry, but it was a little muddy, like a beach at low tide. Reuben stepped into it and curled his lip. "What is this muck?" Shimon scowled. "There's mud all over the place." "This is just like the slime pits of Egypt," replied Reuben. "What's the difference?" complained Shimon. "Mud here, mud there, it's all the same." And so the two of them grumbled all across the bottom of the sea. And because they never once looked up, they never understood why on the distant shore everyone was singing songs of praise. For Reuben and Shimon, the miracle actually never happened. We all need practices and reminders to experience awe. And religions have worked to create these experiences for people. Big cathedrals are an example of a human creation of awe. And so are the stories of our faith, filled with miracles and surprises, created to inspire wonder. And why? Because the goal of so many faiths over time, no matter how they've been twisted, has been to nurture compassionate, loving, generous people. And awe is a vital experience to help people do this. Which brings us straight into the holiday season. Religiously, the winter holidays are meant to invoke wonder. At Hanukkah, we celebrate the wonder of a small band of soldiers fighting back empire and winning. It is an inspiration to all who live under empire. And then when the Jewish reclaimed the temple, their religious center, the oil for the sacred camp burned for 8 days instead of one, a wondrous miracle. The solstice reminds us of the wonder of the seasons, the cool dark, the lengthening days, the return of the sun. The sun never forsakes us, we remember, at the solstice, and makes life possible every year. A wondrous miracle. Christmas shares the wonder of a child born in the hardest of circumstances, bringing joy and hope to so many people. The wonder of a star bright as day in the night sky. It is a wonder, they're wondrous miracles. In the Christmas story, there are angels, heavenly beings representing the holiness and awe we all feel when we encounter the infinite miracle of existence. So let us sing to that glory. Angels we have heard on high. The words are on your screen, or they're in your hymnal, 231. And the hymnal words and the words on the screen could be different. So. Our benediction is from my colleague, the Reverend Gretchen Haley. Do not fail to be surprised by the catching of your breath, the quickening of your heart, and the fullness of your eyes. Wide and suddenly awake, the world is filled with wonder, ready to be born anew. Do not fail to notice. I extinguish this flame, but not the vision or the compassion of our faith. May they stay with you till we meet again.